exalting the Most High God in all His glory. How mysterious, how majestic, how marvelous is our God. We get to praise Him this morning. We get to lift Him up in His rightful place, the center of attention. And I trust that is happening in your heart and my heart as we sing to the Lord. And now as we come to the Word of God, as we go to the Lord, we've been speaking to the Lord over the past 20 minutes. We've been talking to Him and praising Him and thanking Him and recognizing Him. And now is an opportunity for God to speak to us through His Word. And I'm thankful for the inspired Word of God this morning. I truly am. And we're going to find our place there in Acts chapter number 5. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Acts chapter 5. And our passage this morning is going to be, is going to be from verse 11 through verse 42. That will bring us to the end of chapter 5. So we're going to try to cover a good bit of ground here quickly. I will basically be giving you an overview of the probably verses 11 through 40. And then when we get to 42, which is the text I'm going to read here in just a moment, that will be the main part of our message this morning. Let's begin reading there in verse number 40. The Bible says, "And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, "An Honor to Be Dishonored." An honor to be dishonored. Let's ask the Lord to lead us. Oh God, Lord, You are awesome. As we gather here this morning in our finite minds, oh Lord, as much as we know how, we want to praise You. We want to listen to Your voice this morning. And we're asking You to speak, Lord, for Thy servants hear You. And God, I'm praying that You would just take over this message and hide me behind the cross. And Lord God, I pray that You would speak to each of us in a very specific way. In a way, God, that we will not leave here the same way we came in. Oh God, it is for Thy glory. I do pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. An honor to be dishonored. That is an oxymoron, and I understand that. In fact, we see many of those located throughout the Scriptures that Jesus used to illustrate truth. In order for somebody to live, they must die. In order for somebody to be rich, they must be poor. And we see here another illustration coming from the Word of God, that where God teaches a truth that appears to be an oxymoron, but it is a truth that God expects His children to understand. And then not only to understand, but to live out. We see here back in our passage in verse number 11, our context is that the church has gone through a purging. The church has gone through a purging, and we talked about that and preached that last week, Ananias and Sapphira, and how God judged them for their hypocrisy, and there was a purging though. The church responded. Well, how do we know they responded rightly? Because of what we find in the following passages. For instance, look there in verse 11. The Bible says, "In great fear," after this judgment came, it says, "In great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So it had an immediate impact upon the church. And by the way, that's the way it should be. It should be when God brings a judgment into our hearts and our lives, it is for the specific to getting our attention, to waking us up. And it did that. It had that effect. And so we see here that our context gets to that point, and then there is going to be another, if you will, revival. There was that time where they got in a rut because of, I believe, the hypocrisy that was there. But God brought judgment. They responded rightly. And guess what? God's bringing back the power. And that is what we're going to talk about this morning, how they responded on this occasion when it came to living for the Lord. An honor to be dishonored. You know, I think of our military, and I think of every man and woman that serves in our military. I'm thankful to them, and I honor them. I am thankful for their service. I make it a point to do that anytime I see a man or a woman in uniform. But you know, there are occasions where the men and women of our U.S. military go over and beyond. And it's pretty amazing the stories you read if you were to Google Medal of Honor recipients. You would read account after account of those that had truly given their lives, put their lives on the line. Some of them survived, many of them did not. But as they would put their lives on the line to rescue or to help, to deliver others from danger, that medal was appropriately given to those. But why was there so much honor in that? How is it that there's so much honor in what they're doing? I'll tell you why I believe it is. It's because they're setting their own honor aside. You see, somebody that wants to honor themselves, they're not going to put their lives on the line. They care more about self. You talk about dishonor. What about the man down in Florida who was a police officer that refused to go in? He could have gone on. He could have gone in that school and dishonored himself and put himself in front of those students. Yeah, he could have that. But no, he honored himself and went the other way. And I believe God Almighty is teaching Christians that they need to understand that there is a truth of, for us believers in Christ, that we need to live a life that's going to be dishonoring to the world, but yet honoring to God Almighty. That's what happened in this passage. And it's amazing to see how God blessed them for that. We're going to see that the church is now functioning in full power of the Holy Spirit. Verses 12 through 16, we see that the church is growing. If you don't have your Bible with you today, I want to invite you to grab the Bible in front of you if you can, so that you can follow along with me, because I'm going to move through this passage quickly. And I feel like you'll get a lot more out of it if you're reading along with me. So look there in Acts chapter 5, and you see there in verses 12 through 16, the church is growing. Number one, the church is growing. The power is back on. Multitudes, we read in this passage, are being saved. We see there in verse number 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities. So not only now, God's already moving. Remember, Pentecost happened in Jerusalem, little city here. But now it's starting to move outward. They're starting to fulfill what God called them to do when he said, you know, go unto Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost. It's going to start beginning to move that direction. So the church is moving. It's growing. And notice something with me about this growth. Very interesting. Look there in verse number, I believe we find that in verse number 13. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now that's Old English there. That phrase is simply meaning that the rest that were there, they would not join themselves with these apostles. They didn't want to be named among them. They were, I'm just going to say it like this, they were embarrassed and they didn't want to put themselves on the line to put their full stock in the Messiah Jesus, their full heart into it. So there was a hesitancy from a lot of the crowd there, but it did say that they respected of what was going on, but the people magnified them. It was amazing to them. It was miraculous, but as far as them getting involved, there was a hesitancy. But you know what, church? You know what it didn't do? It didn't hinder the growth of the church. It didn't hinder the growth of the church. You know, we are falling into this philosophy in churches today that, listen, you have to soften the message of the gospel to draw people in. That's a lie. You don't have to soften the message of the gospel. You don't have to stop talking about sin. It's not necessary. I think you don't abuse it. You're balanced with it. But the truth is, they preached Christ. They gave it all for the Messiah. And God blessed the church. It did not hinder their growth. I like what John MacArthur said about this. He said, a pure, powerful church will inevitably provoke a hostile reaction from the satanic world system. And that's exactly what happened. Man, miracles are taking place on the street. People are being healed. Demons are being delivered out of people. People are trusting Christ, both men and women. Just a great move of God. And guess what that brings? It brings an attack. And mark it down, Christian. Anytime we're living for Christ, you will get under attack. And you will see that Satan is going to try to hinder you and try to harm you and what you're doing for the Lord. But guess what these people did? We're going to see right here. The church is attacked in verses 17 through verse 39. First of all, this group was thrown into jail. You'll find that in verses 17 and 18. The high priest and the Sadducees, they were filled with anger and they tossed them into prison. So that's where they are because of their faith, because of making a stand. But then we find in verses 19 through 25, God sends an angel. Now listen, God has a sense of humor, okay? I know that because he made me. I know that for a fact. And I'm sure there's some chuckling going on in heaven, but I will know this. God has a sense of humor. How do I know that? Because the Sadducees, get this, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels. Guess what God used to deliver these apostles? Angels. So, you know, you see this here. We see that God is using supernatural means to show these Sadducees who are doubters, and they will continue to doubt, that it is of no use of what they're trying to do. They're not going to stop God. So we see these angels set them free. Now, what is the message? What is the message that the angels give? Now, we're not going to dwell on that, but we see here as they set them free, that's found again verses 19 through 25. It says in verse 20, here's the message. They give three commands here. Go, stand, and speak. That's a message in itself. Go, stand, and speak. I thank the Lord. We had, I believe, a total of 16 people here yesterday for going out on visitation and passing out coffee cups. And I told them then, I said, look, y'all going to get a preview. But that's what I said. This is what we're going to do today. We're going to go. We're going to stand before our neighbors. And we're going to speak loving words of encouragement. Letting them know we're praying for them and give them a coffee cup. And God blessed. And God gave us great liberty. And that's what they're doing. They're saying, go and speak. Go stand and speak. And that's what they're going to do. So when the authorities show up, they're shocked. Why are they shocked? It's because the apostles are gone. They're supposed to be held up in this prison and they're gone. They've been set free. And so, of course, then they're starting to wonder, oh my, what is going on? They start panicking because remember, the Sadducees, hey, They're losing credibility. They're losing credibility. Excuse me. Trying to wake some of y'all up. Sorry about that. They're losing credibility. They're losing the attention that they desire to have politically. You remember that. They're trying to set a testimony there. They're trying to win people's favor, but it's not working because God is helping people come to know Christ. God's working in lives, and it's amazing. So where do they go from the jail? They go exactly where they were told to go. They go to the temple and they start preaching again. But then once they hear that and the news comes saying, hey, we know where those apostles are, as the Sanhedrin stood there puzzled and wondering what in the world is going on here. We had it secured. They're gone. And some guy comes. I would love to be on that scene. Hey, those boys that you're looking for, they're back in the temple. Oh, I could see those Sanhedrin rolling their eyes now. Come on, let's go. And so they all, like a pack of wolves, they start heading towards that. What's wrong with this thing, Brother Mike? I don't know if I... Hey, man, did I mess up something? I'm sorry. All right. Amen. Sounds like a pack of wolves in here, that thing going on. All right, let's try that. Thank you, Brother Mike. So we see that they are going after, they go into the temple, and that's where we find in verses 26 through 28. Look at there in your Bibles. It says they came, the captain of the officers, and it says they brought them without violence in verse number 26. Why? They feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. They knew that God was moving, and they had to move quick, and they had to do it wisely to get rid of these people who are speaking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But look what they say in verse 28. They said, fellas, I'm putting in a little bit of the Brinson translation there. Hey, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And now behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And so we see here that they are going to question them. And hey, I love the apostles' response. Peter and the apostles respond like this in verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, don't forget it, if you haven't underlined this in your Bible yet, I would encourage you to do so. Peter and those men said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Brethren, that is a life-changing principle. That is a life-changing truth when we let this truth grip us. A truth from God's Word that we are going to obey God rather than men. Another words, they're not going to let their life for Jesus be deterred by some lost people that are seeking to harm them. They're not going to be hindered by it. They're going to live for Him. And so it says here that they said, we're going to give allegiance to God. We ought to obey God rather than men. He is saying He is Savior and King. He goes through and look at a few things that He says here. Number one, we see that they give allegiance to Him. And then verse number 30, look what happens. This happens every time. They give the gospel. The gospel is found right there in verse number 30. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. They said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted. We just have been singing about that. A wonderful special goes right along with that. It says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So we see Peter starts preaching and he starts giving this truth, and then we're going to see how their response goes. Now, you'll remember, they are furious. They're getting to be ready to be furious at this point after this message. And we find there in verse number 33, after hearing this, verse 33, look what the Bible says. When they heard that, they were what to the heart? They were cut. They were cut to the heart. That is a phrase simply meaning that they were infuriated. They were angry with wrath is what that phrase means. And it says after that, they took counsel to slay them. That word slay simply means to abolish, means to absolutely take out. That was their final decision. Here they are. I believe they're on the verge of making this decision of seeking to wipe out these apostles. But look what happens. At this point, a very high-ranking and highly respected Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel convinces the Sanhedrin to stop their plans. I'm going to paraphrase this section here. It's basically following down from verse number 34. He speaks to them all the way down to verse number 39. What was his message to the Sanhedrin, this great religious leader? It was this. Men, don't murder these apostles. We know he says, he's not saying just leave them alone because they didn't follow through with that. He was saying, don't murder them. Do not slay them. They say, and he goes on to say, if this is of God, it will remain. It will continue. If it's not of God, it'll stop. And he gives a couple illustrations there, very interestingly enough, of those that rose up and taught a doctrine and it did not last. It went down. But he says to them, leave these men alone, because you might just find yourself fighting against God. And that phrase is used in verse 39. You can see it there in your Bible. It says, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And they didn't want to be in that boat. They didn't want to be in that in that way. So what did they do? They agreed. All right, we're going to let them go. And they called the apostles in verse 40. They didn't let them go without a good thrashing, a real beating. And we know it's a real beating because that same word that's used for beating here is the same word that was used that the Roman soldiers, when it says they smote the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same word. I'm talking it was a painful beating that these apostles took for their faith. And the Bible says when they took that beating, the Word of God says they let them go, but not without saying that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Now that brings me to the main point of this message. We see that the church was growing. We see that the church was attacked. But in the closing time that I have, I want us to see the church rejoicing. Now this is where we're going to get to our honor to be dishonored. Now, normally we don't think of someone taking a beating and then rejoicing, do we? Maybe you do. Does anybody here love taking a beating? I don't think so. But we see here the church rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing? They have taken a beating. They have received this treatment from the Pharisees. They are seeking to make way for the gospel. And the Bible says they're rejoicing. Now, what is causing this abnormal behavior? What is causing this? Well, the Bible tells us right there. It says they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Now, this counted worthy simply means it was an honor. That's what it means. Counted worthy, they said, it's an honor. It's an honor. But then what does the next phrase say? To suffer shame. What does that mean? To be dishonored. To be dishonored. So what does that in essence say? It is saying that it is an honor to be dishonored for the name of Jesus Christ. That's Bible. That's what my Bible says. It is an honor to be dishonored for the name of Jesus. And you see the power that we see here because of these apostles understanding this truth. I want to share my heart here with you. I believe the timidity and the apprehension and the cowardice that I find in my heart many of the times when it comes to speaking boldly for Jesus Christ, I find it often. It is for the reason of Brinson Jennings' saving face. Many times when God gives me a divine appointment or puts me in a position to speak boldly the gospel, and when it comes time for churches like this one to go out and to, whether it be knocking on doors or whether it be going and working in outreach events and talking to people about their salvation, most Christians do not want to do that. Why? Because they want to save face. They don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be talked about. So therefore, we take the road that we honor ourselves. We prevent that. And then there's that cop-out that I've used many times. I just was afraid I was going to mess the message up. If God can use a donkey to speak, He can use us. It's to save face. We don't want to be in that position. Why? Because we want to be honored by men.
You know what?
This type of thinking, church, must be changed. It's just wrong doctrine. And I believe that the devil has deceived the church, even Crooked Creek Baptist Church, thinking that if we will just save face, we don't have to go out and talk to people about Jesus. We don't have to talk to our family members and our neighbors. They might talk about us. God forbid it. They might try to hurt us. And what we do is we save face. But I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. I'm thankful that I read here in my Bible, and it's right in yours too, and you read in your Bible that that's not the route that these precious children of God took. It says that they were counted worthy. They rejoiced that God put them in a position to be dishonored. And folks, you think we live in a save face culture? We do. But this culture was even more so. Shaming was a huge deal. You would do, in that culture, and I lived in it for 3 years, you would do anything to save face. To be ridiculed in public? Oh, you're talking about almost just feeling like the end of your life. Embarrassment. Dishonored. It was the worst thing in the world. But here this seemingly oxymoron, these apostles are saying, hey, we are thankful that we got embarrassed out there, that we got yelled at, that we got beat in front of everybody, that we got ridiculed. We are honored by that, by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they were saying, church? They were saying this. Hey, we must look at the early church and be reminded of this. It is not an honor to be honored by the world. Can I say that again? It is not an honor to be honored by the world philosophy and the worldly thinking. You know what it is, according to this passage? It is an honor to be dishonored by the world. And what do we mean by that? It means that it's not that I am having bad character in life and that I'm not being a good citizen. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about I should be living a life where the world does not agree with me. That the world should be upset because I'm a Christian and I'm trying to teach in Jesus' name. I'm trying to encourage people in the Lord. I'm trying to get them to see that Jesus is the Messiah and that He's the only way. The world doesn't like that. They want to silence us. Hey, listen, church, if it means me losing my job, if it means me losing my friends, if it means me losing my family, listen, that's all dishonoring things. Yes, I understand that. But what I believe God is teaching right here in this passage is that God's people need to start changing their thinking, that we can be dishonored by men and be honored by God. Rejoicing that they had just taken a beating for God, for the glory of God. And I wonder this morning as I'm here gathered with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and perhaps somebody here that maybe doesn't have a relationship with Christ. I wonder, and I think about my dear sister who's now in glory, Ms. Elizabeth Archer. She lived a life that was not honoring to the world. Because she gave her life for Christ. It was honoring to the church. It was honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But somebody just selling out and giving all for the gospel's sake and not pursuing money, not pursuing fame, popularity, comfort. I want to tell you, our sister lived a life that dishonored the world but honored Jesus Christ. And I know she was dishonored for it. I know she was in her times. There were times that she caught a lot of trouble for that. But she didn't give up. She stayed the course. She fought the good fight. She was faithful. I guess what I'm trying to say this, I don't know if I've been able to convey this truth this morning. But we see here, the Lord, I believe, is calling His church to realize that it's okay to be embarrassed. It's okay to be rejected. It's okay to be ridiculed. It's okay. Go. Because by being dishonored, you are being honored. The Bohemian reformer John Huss was a man who believed the Scriptures to be the infallible and supreme authority in all matters. He died at the stake in Constance, Germany. For that belief, that very belief on his 42nd birthday, 42 years old. As he refused a final plea to renounce his faith, listen to Huss's last words as he cried out, "What I taught with my lips, I seal with my blood." A man who, yes, was dishonored to be put in that place at the stake and be burned at the stake. And many of our forefathers, many of the brethren, men and women alike, and have gone and been dishonored by this world. Why? Because they refused to be silent. They spoke up. They confronted people in the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. And these Sanhedrin, these Sadducees, they were mean men. They were wicked men. They hated these apostles. They wanted to abolish them. But that didn't stop these people of God to pressing on, knowing that it is an honor to be dishonored. Let's pray.